Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is number 1205B. The Bs are always great guests, and we have one today. Dr. Holly Paswash, that's P-A-Z-W-A-S-H, is a gastroenterologist, and she's double boarded in the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Gastroenterology. She is currently chair of the Division of GI of Gastroenterology at Valley Hospital in New Jersey, and she is part of the GANJ, GANJ.com group of gastroenterologists in New Jersey. She's going to talk to us about both heat concerns and what about your microbiome in the summer. We are brought to you by Life's First Naturals. Life's First Naturals are the makers of both Trubiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Two things, you can go to their website and see the randomized double-blind controlled studies that show you where those are appropriate. That is Trubiotics and Bovine Colostrum at lifesfirstnaturals.com. And of course, also by longevityplaybook.com. Go to their website, longevityplaybook.com, and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Dr. Paswash, how did you happen to get into gastroenterology? It's such an interesting field. Was there a colonoscopy in your family that got you into it?
It was, can I tell you, it is the best field. Mike, I don't know what you do, but in terms of me, GI is the best field ever. First of all, thank you for having me. But GI is the best. It's a mix of, you know, I love food. I love fine dining. Come to New York. I'll tell you where to go, what to eat. I'll be happy to take you out. I will hold to it. I'm a foodie. I am a foodie. You're welcome anytime. We're not too far from the city. And you know what? It's a perfect combination of being in the office half a day or full day if you want. I think GI is the best field in terms of having patient care in the office, but also if you're procedure oriented and you like to do procedures hands-on, it's truly an amazing field. I love it. Things are always evolving. Technology's changing. You know, recommendations are changing. It's absolutely great.
So when did you get into it? So you must have gotten into it sometime in medical school, probably.
Yep. So when you're, as you know, in medical school, we rotate through different, you know, the different fields, trying to figure out what we want to do. And I felt that I kept getting drawn into the GI tract. It makes sense to me. It's easy compared to pulmonary and kidney, which, as you know, can be gruesome. Yeah. And I went into internal medicine knowing that I was going to specialize in GI, Mike. And I haven't looked back. Really, people say, you know what, doctors, you know, they're burned out on all this. And everyone has highs and lows. I can't imagine doing anything else. It's absolutely the best.
That's the greatest thing when your vocation and avocation fit you perfectly. So let's talk about summer heat and what's key for your gut. Now, people travel a lot in the summer and they're eating foods that they're unused to. What do they have to watch out for and what should they watch out for?
Summer is an interesting time. As a rule of thumb, people don't hydrate enough, period. You know, I was actually doing procedures today and I said to my anesthesiologist, where's your water bottle? She didn't have any. And I keep harping her on it. You know, this is my water jug. People online can't see it, but you can see it.
It is a big jug. It looks like it's 18 ounces.
Oh, I think it might be a little bit more than that. I don't know. Maybe prepping for a colonoscopy at this point. I'm not really sure. Just kidding. You know how people hate that. But anyway, keep yourself hydrated. I like to mix it up in the summer. You put cucumbers in your water. Water to me is boring. Mix it up with cucumber. You can put lemons in it. You can use some aloe vera juice. You can use lemon juice. Take your flavor of your choice. Put pineapple, whatever, just anything that gives it flavor. I like to keep it natural. I think hydration is the key for the whole, really for the whole body, if you think about it, from your skin to your intestines, to your kidneys, to your liver. The key is hydration. And the problem in the summer, Mike, as you know, we don't hydrate. You're probably drinking coffee, which is great, but it's also dehydrating. Then you go to barbecues, you throw in the drinks and the Trulies and alcohol, dehydrating. Iced coffee, dehydrating, right? So we're always playing this catch-up game. And the best thing to do is to keep one of these 18-ounce buoys and just keep filling them up as you go along.
Now, you also talk about sun protection. And I was surprised on the New York Times Wirecutter, they actually recommend some of the chemical sunscreens rather than the micronized zinc oxide, which is the only one I know of that isn't potentially toxic to another GI organ, your liver.
Yeah, you know what? I advocate any type of sunscreen protection. I really do. Use what you can. You can ask the dermatologist in particular. They have their favorites. So I won't go into that today. I'll leave that for another podcast for you. Which sunblock do you use to ask the dermatologist? But any sunblock is better than no sunblock. There's no question about that. That we do advocate during the summer as well.
Now, you also mention in this article things about heat illness awareness. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Which article? That wasn't me.
Somebody sent me an article that was stuff you were interested in. And one,
I apologize for that. I don't know who sent you that because I do more probiotics, prebiotics, and hydration.
Then talk to me about, since I'm a advocate of probiotics and I take a variety of them, a different one every third day so that I get a variety since I don't know what's the best for my microbiome. Talk to us about probiotics and prebiotics.
Yeah, let's do that. I think I have more fun with the gut stuff, like I told you. Leave the skin stuff to the dermatologist. I think that list you got from someone from my group that comes up with a list. Probiotics, great topic. There's so much research being done right now about the gut and the gut microbiome and how it affects your whole health. It's very interesting. I don't know if we have all the answers yet, like you said, and that's probably why you're cycling through them. Basically, probiotics are foods or supplements that contain live microorganisms that improve the good bacteria in your gut. And I do think that eating a healthy diet is also important. You get a lot of prebiotics in your foods that are good for the gut flora. Those are asparagus, garlic, leeks. Apple cider vinegar, just so you know, has both prebiotic and probiotic qualities in it. And in terms of, as GI, what I like to prescribe to my patients, based on efficacy, I would say my top three are Line, Flora Strong, Culturel.
So Culturel is one of the three I take, as is a Trubiotic and a Line.
You're doing a great job.
Those are the ones I take. Anyway.
What was the third one?
Trubiotic.
Okay, yeah.
A Line and Culturel.
Okay.
And sometimes Digestive Advantage. Now, tell us about one of the things that happens when you travel around in the summer is you're not eating foods you're used to. Are there any tricks in making sure that you don't get what we call traveler's diarrhea?
Yeah, that's a tough one. My experience, when people travel, your whole GI system goes off. Most patients actually get constipated, actually, not diarrhea, when they travel, because they're not having enough fluids and fiber in their diet. So my experience is most patients get constipated. I have this conversation all the time with patients in my office. So I tell them to travel with either Metamucil or a fiber supplement, fiber gummy bears, whatever you want, and just prophylactically, even before they board. Keep in mind, you're flying. People drink coffee to stay awake. People drink alcohol to go to sleep, right? So here we go with the cycle, you know, you're losing fluids all over again. You're in midair. You're not eating what you're supposed to. Traveler's diarrhea is a whole separate issue. There are parts of the world, you're absolutely right, where patients travel to. And certain places, I do tell them, you should find out if in that country, if you can drink the water. There are certain countries in South America, for instance, or the Caribbean, where you can't drink the water. I do tell patients who travel to these areas to carry Pepto-Bismol with them, take Imodium with them.
So carry Pepto-Bismol and Imodium, and those are obviously to help slow the gut from emptying. And should they carry Pedialyte or a combination of something like a packet of Pedialyte that they can put in healthy water?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you familiar with those IV hydration sticks that are out now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great. They come in packets of like 16. I say, take the box, just take it with you. And those IV hydration sticks are great. They have electrolytes in them. There are so many things over the counter, but those are the main things that I tell people to use. Either liquid, it's called liquid IV. It comes in little packets. Obviously, Gatorade.
And you mix them with bottled water.
Correct. Absolutely. That's the key. Absolutely. Yeah. Not the tap water in the local area, but bottled water is the safest thing.
So what we've learned about, I think what I've learned about is the keys are hydration. Overhydrate if you can. The second key was to carry Imodium and Pepto-Bismol with you. The third is to take a probiotic routinely. Carry some fiber with you, then the hydration sticks or the packets of Pedialyte.
Amazing. You got it covered. If you do that, you'll be good for the summer. And if you want to put on some sunscreen on your face too, that's fine too.
That's needed. Now, tell me, do you have children?
Yeah.
And what do you tell them to do? So children are tough to control. How old are yours?
So I have teenagers, so basically they're not listening to me, so it's perfectly fine. They're normal. You know, my son actually, he's pretty good. He plays basketball, and he's hydrating all the time because, you know what? He sweats, and his body tells him to drink water. I think they're pretty good. You know, I have to say, they're growing up in a GI household with me, so they're kind of used to dinner talk is, you know, poop is okay. You know, I have no problems talking about the GI system, so they're kind of used to it. As a matter of fact, my daughter's school in biology, they were learning about the GI tract and colonoscopy. She goes, oh, I've seen that before. And everyone was like, what? So she mentored me one summer and I did take her. And so she did see some colonoscopies and endoscopies. And, you know, it's fascinating.
Now, the other thing that is so common in America is GERD.
Oh.
And since you're an endoscopist, you see a lot of gastroesophageal reflux disease. Should they be taking their medicine with them for this? What precautions do you tell them to do? Since people tend to drink alcohol and have spicy foods when they're on vacation, what do you tell them to do?
Yeah, it's really hard to be in Madrid or Spain and not have a sangria or something tasty, right? So yeah, take your PPI. I mean, the good thing I will tell you is that most of these are over the counter now. You know, in the old days, you had to get the prescriptions from the doctors. A lot of my patients pick up stuff from over the counter. So I think for traveling, I would definitely add, there's a couple other things I would add. I actually like to carry Benadryl with me when I travel, not just for myself. If you've been on a flight, someone has an anaphylactic reaction to knots or something like that, I'd like to have some Benadryl with me just in case. And the PPI, I think that the acid reducer you should take with you too when you travel. Reflux is huge. I would say for gastroenterologists, a quarter of what we see in the country is probably reflux for us to do, you know, everything. And I'd probably say another quarter of what we see is screening colonoscopies and everything else is like a bag of other things. So travel, I would add that to the list. I would say definitely travel with some antacids. Things to do in terms of lifestyle, since you're asking me, avoid eating late at night. Try not to lie down flat 2 to 3 hours before eating. It's hard to tell people this too when they're traveling because your schedule is all messed up. Like if you're near Europe, they eat at 10 p.m. at night sometimes and do smaller meals, but you can do your best. It's hard. It's really hard to follow these rules when you're traveling. It really is.
We've been talking with Dr. Holly Pazwash, P-A-Z-W-A-S-H. She's chair of the Department of Gastroenterology at Valley Hospital in New Jersey, and part of the GANJ, GANJ.com group of gastroenterologists. Thanks for your advice. When I travel, I'm going to take Pepto-Bismol and Imodium with me, which I haven't done so far, as well as the advice on overhydrating, since my coffee maybe dehydrating if I get overhydrated. I'll keep alternating water and coffee. Thanks very much, and may all of us have a fun summer. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Doctor.
And remember, we're brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of both bovine colostrum and Trubiotics, as well as Longevity Playbook. Go to both of those websites, longevityplaybook.com, sign up for the free newsletter, or lifesfirstnaturals.com to look at the randomized double-blind controlled trials. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. This has been 1205B. The B's are always wonderful guests. The A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again, Dr. Paswash, and thanks, GANJ.com of New Jersey, for our guest today. We'll be back next week.